Good morning. It's obviously about light and sight and blindness. But the literal cure of the blind man is not emphasized. I mean, this is the longest story, the cure of a blind person in the Gospels. All the Gospels have them. But this one is a whole chapter. But the actual cure of the blind man happens off stage. And he went and he washed and he came back able to see. That's all you hear. The emphasis, of course, is on spiritual sight and spiritual blindness, for which the physical cure is an elaborate metaphor. Gradually, through the story, the blind see better and better and better, and the seeing become blinder and blinder and blinder. Listen to the blind person. What did you hear? First question, how did this happen? Who did this? That one they called Jesus made mud and put so on. The person they called Jesus, that's the closest this person can come to a statement. A little bit later, he is a prophet. A little bit later, defending him. Were he not from God, he could not have done such a thing. And finally, confessing him. I do believe. And worshiped him. Worshiped. Gave to Jesus the tribute that is paid to the God of Israel. Quite a big step from that one they called Jesus, the beginning of the chapter. They're seeing better, and she's seeing better and better as it goes along. Pharisees, on the other hand, start out with a bit of cloudy sight. They're divided. He can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. On the other hand, if he were not from God, how could he do such a thing? But by the end, they're totally blind. They've made their decision. And Jesus says, if you were blind, there would be no sin in that. But since you insist that you see, then your sin remains. All about spiritual sight. But spiritual sight is a hard concept to deal with. So physical sight is a pretty good metaphor for it. Well, let's work the metaphor a little bit. You know about sight. And you can imagine a little bit about blindness. Those of you who are of a certain age, we all know that our vision is not as good as it used to be. We see things a little less precisely, a little less clearly than we used to. But we can make up for that. We can get larger type. We can get different glasses. We can sit closer to the TV, whatever. But we understand that there's a difference. People who have gone blind during their life, but used to see, know what it is to see. They just know they can no longer do it. But try to imagine being born blind. You can't really imagine that. You know, you can imagine being blind. You can simulate being blind. Put a blindfold on. See what you can do and what you can't do. It's amazing what you can do just by spatial reference, reaching out and touching things without seeing them. But there's some things you just can't do. And you can figure that all out for yourself pretty quickly, putting a blindfold on. But it's no substitute for being born blind. You know you're blind. People have been telling you that all your life. But what does it mean to be blind? Well, it knows it means you can't see. But what's seeing? Seems to be that other people can do something that I can't do. They can tell you that something or someone is at a distance from them when it makes no noise. I can tell you what's around me. I can feel it. Beyond the range that I can reach out to, my ears are pretty good. Trained by years relying on them. But if it makes no noise, I don't know it's there. But other people do know it's there. That has something to, must have something to do with blindness. Something they can do that they know it's there when it makes no noise. And I don't. I can get that much. Then they talk about color. And they have different names for different colors. There's red and yellow and green and whatnot. What is color? I have no way of making sense of that if I've been born blind. It's not only that I'm blind, it's that I'm too blind to know that I'm blind. I don't know what color is. I don't know what it can mean that you can know something in the distance that makes no sound. Spiritual blindness is, I think, more like that than like going blind later in life. It's not that we used to be able to see things spiritually and now we can't see them as well anymore. It's that we can't see things at all. And don't even know that we can't see them at all. We don't see what it is that we don't see. We can see it in retrospect. You can see it across history. You can see it in the architecture of this church. When this church was built in 1840, as I think most of you know, the center aisle pews were for the English. The side aisle pews toward the center were for the lace curtain Irish, the second and third generation families that had some money. From the side aisle towards the wall was for the Shanty Irish, the immigrant families who didn't have any money. We had side balconies. You can see where the pillars sat for them. Those were for free citizens of color. And the second balcony was for slaves. And nobody saw anything wrong with that. There's no reference to any protest by any of the African Americans, by any of the Shanty Irish, by anybody. People just accepted it. There's no noble statement from somebody in the center aisle that this somehow wasn't right. People just accepted it. They were blind to what they were blind to. In that period, most of the population of the world thought it was normal for people to own people. It was racial slavery in the United States. It was the serf system in Europe. It was the coolie system in China. It was the caste system in India. But all over the world, one way or another, people owned people. People lucky enough to be the owners thought that was wonderful. People unlucky enough to be the slaves thought that was terrible. But everybody took it for granted. That's just the way it was. They couldn't see it. Total spiritual blindness, like blind from birth. The gospel provides light for that. The gospel opens eyes. Sometimes it opens individual eyes one at a time. Eventually it opens the eyes of whole societies. We no longer believe that people have a right to own people. We no longer slice and dice our seating areas by race, by economic status, by nationality, but we don't do that anymore. But we did. Next question is, what is it that we are blind to? This is not gone blind, this is born blind. The problem is, therefore, by definition, you can't see well enough to know that you can't see it. We don't know the answer to that question. We think we have some ideas on the margin. All of us have some of those. There are those of us who believe, for instance, that eventually society will realize that gay people do have the right to get married. That eventually the church will realize that married men and women of married and single have a right to be ordained. That everybody will see that. Maybe. We'll find out. But right now, large portions of the church and of the world just don't see that. And even if we're right about those issues, and even if everybody comes along on that, what else is out there? What is it that we really don't see at all, that our whole society is blind to? 150 years from now, what will our successors in this place be saying about us? Ending with, how could they possibly not have seen that? The way we think about the seating arrangements of 1840. We don't know. It's a good start for humility to begin with. Realize that we have no idea what it is that we're too blind to know that we're blind to. It's a good place to start. A little honest humility. It also gives some consideration to prayer. Open our eyes. Let us see. Not just open everybody else's eyes to see what I see, although I won't deny praying that. But open my eyes too. Open all of our eyes so that we can see what none of us can see. Interesting thought for Lent. Stop and think a little bit about what it means to be born blind, to not really know what it is that you don't see or what seeing really is, to have no idea what color means. Think about that. Not loss of sight, but total absence of sight. And then imagine, what might that mean spiritually? For me, as an individual, for our church, for our society. Jesus, light of the world, open our eyes.